Michael Cole, you absolute dumb of a human being. What the fuck is wrong with you? I can't believe you ruined Bianca fucking Belair's moment like that. Oh, she kicked out. No, she fucking didn't, Michael Cole. Anyways, it's fucking Saturday, April 10th, 2021, guys. I'm Mimi Burris. Welcome to your highs and lows for the week. I just finished watching WrestleMania Night 1, if you can't tell, and so we're going to be talking probably mostly about that, but let's get the fuck into it.
Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce.
Oh! Don Ferdinand! He's covered in Don Ferdinand!
Very elevated up and over the top of the assistant.
Oh! Billy, no! Get down!
Are you kidding me?
You ruined my life! I told you I was going to ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
All right, you guys, after that very explicit intro, I might have calmed down, but I also probably haven't, because we had a hell of a WrestleMania Night 1. There was some weird stuff for sure. I mean, there was the Easter Bunny, you know, duplicated himself and appeared at WrestleMania, and with some other weird stuff that I'm sure we'll talk about, but as well as some good stuff throughout the week and some bad stuff throughout the week, but it's probably going to be a shorter show than usual. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. I'm all up in arms about that Michael Cole thing. I hope I am not the only one who's so angry about that. It's like akin to the fact that Ronda Rousey's shoulders weren't down on the mat when Becky Lynch won the match that time. When the women main evented WrestleMania for the first time, Ronda Rousey can't even get the pin right, or the referee, or whoever messed up there. This fucking pissed me off, so I'm angry about it. But Sasha Banks didn't even twitch, guys. Didn't even twitch. She was out for the count. I don't know what Michael Cole did, what he was going in for business for himself, trying to get another fucking soundbite. I'm sick of it, Michael Cole. I'm sick of it with your boss time and your big dog and your, oh, she kicked out. No, she fucking didn't, Michael. No, she didn't. So fuck off. Go home. Michael Cole, I'm sick of it, man. I loved Michael Cole back in the day, guys. I actually thought he was such a fresh breath of fresh air in comparison to some of the other people on the announce team. He drives me nuts now. This was the cherry on top of the cake, guys, and I guess I'm just fired up after that main event. But what a main event, guys. What an awesome match between Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair. So let's just start there. I mean, wow. I said on the preview show with Matt and Anthony DeMarco, if you guys didn't listen to that, quick plug, by the way, you can still go listen to it because we also previewed Night 2, so you can hear our previews and predictions on Night 2 as well. But as I was saying, I said that Sasha Banks was going to have to wrestle akin to Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series, whatever year that was, you know, pre-Planets Champion deal, because Bianca Belair is clearly the bigger woman, strength-wise, so in order to have the heel beaten her down to believe it, she had to pull a move from Daniel Bryan out. And she did, eventually. You know, we had a quick start kind of in the match, and then, yeah, I mean, there were some things that you could nitpick about this guy, as, you know, it felt very performance-esque in the beginning. I'm all for the tears. I get it. It was emotional. Bianca Belair deserves to be emotional, but it was a weird smile back and forth, like we're putting on a show. The whole show was very Broadway performer-esque. But whatever. All in all, beautiful moment. Two black women main-evented WrestleMania Night 1. And the, you know, future, which is crazy to think that Sasha Banks, we wouldn't necessarily always call her the future anymore. But she still is the future. Just the more future of Bianca Belair right now. The now future Bianca Belair winning the SmackDown's women title. SmackDown's women's title. That title means something, guys. Wow, the amount of prestige that they put on that title just by the positioning of the match on the card, the match itself, you know, the build, we all can probably agree was pretty goddamn awful. But these two women, of course, right, guys, don't trust the process, trust the performers, because these two women put on a show, a great match, exciting, some close falls finishes, a little too much hair tugging for me, but whatever. That whip, Sasha Banks, you know, I'm going to talk up Bianca Belair a lot, but I want to say, guys, we need to give Sasha Banks her credit again. If you listen to that preview and prediction show, Matt, Anthony, and I kind of tore into Sasha Banks, and she was unbelievable. You know, I don't think she's going to get nearly enough credit probably that she deserves, because this story was about Bianca Belair. Sasha Banks took a whip. You saw that mark on her side. I mean, she took a lashing from Bianca Belair. Not to mention, you know, she was the ring general the entire time through this match. I guarantee it. And she played a heel better than, you know, anything else I could have seen. This just went all well, in my opinion, during the actual match portion of it. Again, the beginning, a little weird stuff and whatever else, but a beautiful moment. That guy in the crowd, if anybody else saw, I mean, they should put him in every WrestleMania promo package ever, because his reactions were on point. And to see Bianca's family freaking out and her dad essentially jumping over the barricade, a beautiful moment. Just want to make sure we talk about that real quick. But that is not why we're here, technically. We're here to talk about the highs and the lows of the week. So again, let me calm myself down for a brief minute. Maybe we'll stop fucking swearing on this show. And let's just calm it down and start talking about some of the stuff that went on this week that was no so bueno, not so good Spanish, English. And some of the stuff like Bad Bunny hitting a Canadian destroyer that was fucking awesome. All right, now I'm done, I promise. All right. So this WrestleMania, obviously, we're going to talk about a few things here and there, but this is not a WrestleMania review show. You can listen to the Botch Guy and Matt. They're doing one for Saturday night, and they're also doing one for Sunday night. I think they're even going live, too, so tune in for that for a review show of WrestleMania Night 1 and Night 2. We're here specifically to focus mostly on one thing and another, and again, just the best and the worst for the week, but on a week that has WrestleMania Night 1 in it, pretty hard to focus just on that. And we will include, just for technicality purposes so you guys know, we will include WrestleMania Night 2 in next week's Highs and Lows, because for some reason, guys, technically the week starts on a Sunday to Sunday. It is not Monday to Monday. It's Sunday to Sunday. I forget that every time until I sit down in front of this microphone. So, all right, all the technicalities out of the way. I want to thank you guys for listening, per usual. Again, I always say it because you guys listen. It means I get to keep doing this. It means I get to keep swearing at Michael Cole. Bailey, let me be your, you know, sidekick, because I get it now. I really do. Because of you guys, I get to come on here and rant about absolute nonsense and talk wrestling, and there is nothing I love more. So thank you. And yeah, let's just jump right into it. Let's start talking about the low for the week, and I could probably give about 40 honorable mentions this week, because there was a lot of terrible stuff that went on. AEW was even just not a good show. The Young Bucks, terrible acting, mundane matches, botchy matches. I'm thinking about Hangman Page and Max Caster. Not great. And then there was TakeOver, of course, too. And there was some good stuff on TakeOver. And again, there's just kind of too much content to cover all on this show. That's not necessarily what we're here for. And I would love to talk about all that stuff with you guys, but there is another time for that. For now, we're just going to jump right into the official low for the week, guys, which came, thank God I waited to watch WrestleMania before we sat down to record this, because otherwise I wouldn't get to trash, well-deservingly so, I want to throw that out there, I would not get to trash this terrible women's tag team turmoil match. I mean, what was that? So that's your pick, guys, or that's my pick, I mean, that's my pick for the low for the week. This tag team turmoil match, again, probably way too late considering I just ranted and raved about Bianca Belair. But if you're still here for some reason and you haven't watched WrestleMania Night 1, spoiler alert. So, yeah. All right, this tag team turmoil match, guys, I want to break it down, but I also really don't want to break it down. If you guys, again, listen to that preview and prediction show, I said the one thing that could save this match was an iconic reunion. Did we get it? Absolutely not. Instead, we got terrible wrestling. Terrible wrestling. The fact that this, I mean, we're kind of used to this, right, guys? We're kind of used to this now on a SmackDown and a Raw. Not necessarily NXT, I think the women are actually much better down there, but not down there. I always say that it's the third brand, technically. They just have all their own titles. So anyways, we're used to seeing this on Raw and SmackDown. This is WrestleMania, right? This should not be the participation award show. This should be the best of the best, right? Like, we always make the analogy, the Super Bowl is the best of the best. Stanley Cup is the best of the best. The World Series is the best of the best. The NBA Finals is the best of the best. You don't see Steph Curry and LeBron James like, oh, you know, whatever. Any guy from the Knicks, you want to just come and be on the team for tonight? Just because, you know, you deserve it. You've been in the company for a while or whatever else. This was bad, guys. All right, I'm not even going to look up any... No, I didn't take notes on it because why would I ever do that? And I'm not even going to look anything up because I probably could... I'm going to be angry enough from the stuff I have stored in my memory. I don't need to be reminded of anything. But this match started off... We had... Actually, really, the best part of this entire match was Mandy World Slide. Best part. Everything else stunk. All right, besides Tamina, guys, Tamina won. But, yeah, so we started the match off. We had Naomi and Lana come down. Lana just looks out of place in that entrance. She's, like, literally looks like she's looking at Naomi for cues during the entrance. It's just unnatural. Naomi kills that entrance. She, yeah, sometimes it's a little weird or awkward or whatever, but it's Naomi, and we all love it because we all love Naomi. I think that's a pretty, objective opinion. I'm not saying she's the best in the ring or she's awesome, right? But we just, it's hard not to like Naomi, right? I think the only time I remember her being a heel was Team Bad. Remember that, guys? Sasha Banks, Tamina, and Naomi, which I still think could be the greatest faction in WWE right now. Really only because they don't have any other factions. But yeah, so Naomi, Lana came down to the ring, and then the next entrance or the first match was with Carmella and Billie Kay. Guys, I really wanted Peyton Royce and Billie Kay. I can't tell you enough. What the hell is this? Like, why would they not have the Iconics? What's Peyton Royce doing? She's not doing anything, right? She's not on the card. There's no women's Andre the Giant Battle Royale or whatever. Like, what? Carmella, find her another tag team partner. Put it with Bayley, or I don't know, but this was stupid booking. These four women in the ring... I was pointing, my fiance and I were watching this this match together, and I was pointing out to her, I said, I want to explain to you why this is so bad. Not that the women in the ring right now aren't trying, because they are all really trying. I think Naomi's got some athleticism and some natural talent. I think she just overthinks and is too scripted. I think she just needs to, like, let loose a little bit in the ring and trust herself. You know, I think she gets in her own head and messes herself up because you see her able to pull off these moves and these maneuvers, but she's just not, she just gets in her own head and then messes stuff up or seems too scripted, or you can blatantly see her telling the other, you know, woman, it's time to do this now. So yeah, that Lana can't wrestle. Sorry. It's just not for her, guys. There were so many botches by her. So many. Can't wrestle. Billie Kay, I want to put her a little bit above Lana, underneath Naomi, above Lana. I think with some more practice, there's potential there. I think it doesn't help when you're working with the women that she was working with in this match. Billie Kay is also so incredible in the mic. She doesn't have to wrestle. It's kind of like Zelina Vega. The fact that Zelina Vega is actually a really incredible wrestler was just a plus. And then we have Carmella, who's actually really good, guys. Carmella's really good. I don't think this was her showing because, again, you're only as good as your partner a lot of the times. So the reason, as I was trying to say before, the reason why this stunk so bad was all those reasons. And in this match, the supposed ring general, I guarantee you, the person leading this whole thing was probably Carmella. And if you've got Carmella, again, I think Carmella's great, and I am on the Carmella bus, guys. I like Carmella. I think she deserves a lot more than she gets. I think she's really improved in the ring, and she wasn't bad beforehand. And I think she's better on the mic than about 70% of the other women. So I'm not hating on Carmella. I just don't think she is in the spot yet to be a ring general to be leading the match, you know, as a Sasha Banks or a Charlotte Flair or whatever. She's not one of the four horsewomen. You know, neither is Naomi. Naomi's obviously been around longer, I think, but it's just not either. They are followers in a match, not leaders. And so that's why this came out so jumbled and terrible. It feels like these women are scared to hit each other. And it only went downhill from there. So yeah, full of botches, whatever. Long story go away, Billie Kay gets the roll-up on Naomi because we need a couple of roll-ups even on WrestleMania. And you know what? Billie Kay got a pin. It actually didn't look bad, so I was fine with it. You know, Naomi and Lana were not going to win this match. They're not a team, guys. Sorry, Naomi and Lana, you're not a team. Stop it. Stop trying WWE with that. Stop it. I'm not buying it. It's just like the weirdest pairing ever. And it not weird enough to make it work, but just weird. Anyways, we had Mandy Rose and no, I'm not right about that. We had the Riot Squad come out, right? I might actually have to look this up to double check myself. But next was the Riot Squad. Again, your ring general in this match is Carmella. Been around the longest, probably the best in the ring. I think Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott are actually really good. And I want to say I'm not trying to just trash these women guys, because again, I think out of anybody, especially on this podcast, I root for the women's wrestling the most, right? Maybe that's not fair to say, but I am blown away that women's wrestling can be what it is today because it was so stupid back in the day. You think I was a little girl watching freaking Kelly and whoever else wrestling, right? Like, I'm not hating on Kelly, by the way. Kelly is wonderful. But my point being is I was watching those divas wrestle thinking, or what was it, Oksana? I'm watching Oksana and Alicia Fox have a match and thinking, oh, guys, I can't wait to become a women's wrestler. No, I'm watching, like, John Cena and thinking, I'm going to wrestle with the dudes. I'll be like China. So to think that the women could come from where they are or were to today, where we have women who are more naturally gifted than half the men on the roster, if not all of them, right? Again, your four horsewomen, right? Clear example. You got Asuka. Shayna Baszler is incredible and is being screwed. Nia Jax is Nia Jax. But again, Tamina and Natalya are both great wrestlers. They're not super exciting, but they're good wrestlers. Like, you've got good, talented wrestling in that division. These women just need some more practice. The women that I didn't mention, your Riot Squads, your Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott, who I love, I really do. And I think that documentary for Liv Morgan was awesome, guys. I don't know if you've seen that, but if you haven't, if it's on Peacock, probably isn't because Peacock sucks. But if it's on Peacock, go watch that because it's awesome. Shout out to Sarah Logan, too. You get to see a little Sarah Logan in that documentary. But I love the Riot Squad. I told you guys a million times by now, just in this show, Carmella's great. Billie Kay is the most entertaining part of SmackDown for me when they actually put her on the show. So I'm rooting for all these women. I'm not here to just trash them. But this wasn't much better either. This was sloppy. It was slow at its best. The moves that actually hit slowly. The moves that tried to go any faster were bad. Liv Morgan had a bunch of botches. Botchy, terrible stuff. Long story go away, the Riot Squad gets the pin. Pretty sure it was a roll-up again. No, maybe I'm wrong. Or I don't think they hit that move on Billie Kay. I don't know. I don't care. Long and short of it, we had the next Mandy World slide and Dana Brooke coming out. And guys, this is where I confirmed that this was the low for the week, and I will tell you why. Not because of the world slide, because again, that was the greatest part about this entire match. I'm going to tread very carefully, and I think also, not to sound political or anything like that, but I think as a woman, I have a little more leeway to talk about some of these things and not have to be as careful with my words about it because we live in a very sensitive culture today. I also want to say that I think, you know, it's clear here, right? I am a woman who is engaged to a woman. So as I'm watching these women wrestle, right, I can see Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke come out. Not Dana Brooke, really, because, I don't know, she scares me a little bit, all the plastic surgery. And again, do you. If that makes you feel beautiful, Dana Brooke, rock on. No judgment, just... But, like, I can see a Mandy Rose and realize, yes, you are unbelievably attractive. 110%. Can't deny that. I don't care about that. I really don't. It helps every now and then. Don't get me wrong, right? Like, you clearly see some of the main women on the roster. Not many of these women are not lookers, right? Most of these women are not just beautiful. They're all beautiful, but not most of these women are good-looking women. I guess I am treading carefully somehow. But Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke came out in an outfit. And again, I have my fiancé next to me who knows way more about fashion than I ever do, because clearly I bet you guys can guess that's not what I'm into, considering I'm on here on a wrestling podcast. But it's telling me about how, yeah, no, they have those little liners, so it looks like there's nothing there, but it's holding it together, like, right, you know, on their thighs, up to their waist, and these little pink outfits, these not even like swimsuits. Like, guys, I went to Vegas at, like, 13 years old. I remember watching women who were waitresses walking around, like, the fancy hotel pools looking like this. I don't want to see that. You saw they were adjusting their attire to cover both their breasts and their asses many times during the match, because you can't wrestle in that crap. And if you can, I don't want you to, because I'm not here to watch that. I'm not here to see that. So the long and short of this, guys, is I saw more ass in this ring than I did talent. The Riot Squad excluded, clearly. I'm solely pretty much talking about Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. You have an opportunity on the grandest stage of them all, supposedly, right? To show up and show out, to shut down the haters who say you are just another, as John Laurinaitis said, a 10 with potential. You have the opportunity to show that you belong in this ring. I think Mandy Rose, since that Sonya Deville feud, has improved immensely. Dana Brooke is not a bad wrestler. Again, not up to the standards of today. Neither of them. Not even close. Neither are the Riot Squad. Like I said, I think they're a little more potential there, but these two women can go-ish, right? They have their moments. They're not bad. You know, they are way above a Lana and a Billie Kay, you know, and there could be much more improvement because there's already been improvement. So they're obviously trying, and I appreciate that. But you have this opportunity to show all that. And you come out in an outfit that, by the way, wasn't even flattering, in my opinion, but what the hell does that matter? But you come out in an outfit that, again, you look like a Las Vegas waitress, and which, again, is fine in its area, in where it's supposed to happen. Not in a wrestling ring. I don't want to see that. And so when I watched this match, guys, you know what it felt like? This whole thing until Natalya and Tamina came in felt like a Divas match. Felt worse than a Divas match. I've seen better Divas matches than this. Give me back Alicia Fox and Oksana, because I don't want to watch this. You have this opportunity, and that's what you choose to wear. And have that be the focal point. Again, more ass than talent this entire match, guys. Or at least this section of the tag team turmoil match. I don't want to see that. I can see that anywhere else. And again, wonderful fiance, if you are listening, by that I mean nowhere else. My point is, guys, is that this is so unnecessary, takes away from what we're trying to do here. I think women should be able to wear whatever they want. Absolutely, guys. We are in an era of empowerment and all that stuff. Woohoo, I will save you the feminism. You guys get it. I don't care if that's how you want to dress anywhere else, but guess what? I don't show up to, like, a swim meet in a, like a diving contest or a swim meet in a bikini. Like, that just doesn't make sense. There's certain wrestling attire, or there's attire for any sport, because that's what you need to wear to play that sport. You wear shin guards to play soccer so you don't get kicked in the shin, right? You wear pants in baseball so when you slide, it doesn't hurt. All those things. I could go on and on, guys, but you get the point. This was disgusting. and it set the women's division back, in my opinion. This whole match, the wrestling was not good, and then that was way worse. And again, they had okay spots here and there, but this was trash. This was absolute trash. And so, you know, what do you know? The Riot Squad get the pin. Thank God. Get out of the ring, please. And they messed that up, by the way. They, like, said that Mandy wrote, this is like a night of messing up calls, apparently. But I'm just moving on, because let's get to the one salvageable part of this match, and that was Tamina and Natalya. Kind of what you guys expect. And again, I'm not knocking these women for not having reps, because they don't have house shows right now. Like, what are they going to do, right? There's nothing like performing in front of a live crowd. You can practice in the performance center all you want. And you can clearly see that some of them are doing that. Again, Dana Brooke didn't look bad at all. She was actually hitting them, and I like that. Mandy Rose is very hit or miss, but you can go and practice there, but it's just not going to be the same as a live format show. So, again, I'm not knocking them for that, and I'm not knocking them for trying. Even Lana. Keep trying, Lana, I guess. I could never wrestle, guys. I am not talented like that at all. I have the lung capacity of a 2-year-old. I am not for that. So I'm not claiming to be able to do that. But I will tell you this, guys. If I'm going to showcase something like that, if I've been working really hard on, let's say, my cooking, and I was going to make a giant meal for all my friends and family to show them how good of a chef I've been, do you guys think I'd be cooking in like a full latex outfit just for it, just to show off I'm really good looking or whatever? Again, I'm not saying that, but my point being is that it made no sense, and I'm moving on from it. Again, Tamina and Natalya came out generals. These women have been doing this for a long time, have way more reps than any of these other women. So finally, you get someone who can lead the match, and you can see it instantly, right away. You can see the match changes. The Riot Squad, clearly, even the Riot Squad look better because they're in the ring with Natalya and Tamina right away. They have someone to carry them, and that's what this match needed. So all in all, with the terrible Las Vegas outfits from Mandy Rose, the Blonde Squad, essentially, with the terrible outfits from the Blonde Squad and the crap wrestling by almost everybody else, the real problem of this as well was the booking. I don't know who put this match together, but they're an idiot, because you didn't put anybody who was going to be capable of leading a WrestleMania caliber, or just guess what, guys, any caliber of a match throughout it. If I were to rebook this, because I always said what we're going to try to do on the show is not just trash the product, but talk about maybe how it could be done better. Because if they do something like this again, maybe we'll learn from it. Probably not. But I would have done this. I probably would have put Tamina and Natalya in first. And I would have had them either go all the way. I know that's not ideal for storytelling purposes, but guess what? You actually would have gotten a match, maybe. Or, fine, if you need to have one bad match, have one bad match, then have Natalya and Tamina come out and dominate. If you were going to put them over anyways, put them, you know, let me quote Cameron Grimes, put them to the moon. Just do that, go with it, because no one else can lead this match, or put a team in there, or put a wrestler in there who's going to help these other women. Really, it's not so much their fault. WWE put the blind out in the middle of the road and said, figure it out. And what are they going to do with that? These women are not nearly talented yet enough to handle a situation like this. So that's what I would have done. Booked it way differently. I would have put Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke in wrestling attire. That would have been cool. I would have probably not booked this at all. But I don't know. And like I said, I probably would have put a team in there besides Natalya and Tamina that could have carried the match a little bit if you were going to have Natalya and Tamina come out second to last. So yes, Natalya and Tamina pin the Riot Squad. They get the 1-2-3, or they came out last. I forget. It's all jumbled, guys. I'm fired up about this because I was really upset, because I know how good the women's division can be. And you want to know how I know that is because guess what? Look at the main event. That was better than some of the men's matches on the card. Also, guys, Bad Bunny is a better wrestler than half the women who do this for a full-time living. I don't care, man or woman, it doesn't matter. Bad Bunny's a rapper, a Spanish rapper, and he could wrestle better than half the women on this roster. I'm saying that boldly, but it's the truth. Again, they're not the same schedule, hard to compare, but my point being is Bad Bunny sold better than any of these women. I mean, he obviously really hit the Miz, but and we'll get into that, but oh, just awful. I'm done talking about it. So that's my low for the week. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Again, be careful. Be careful. Because, again, we want to make sure we're not putting down women for dressing however they want to dress and being who they are and whatever, you know, wear whatever you want. Honest to God, if you want to tattoo your whole face, go wild. If you want to wear nothing, go wild. I don't care, right? It's not about that. It's about knowing where you are, right? I would not wear my pajamas to work. I dress for work because that's what we do. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose, you guys can't wear the Las Vegas swimsuit to WrestleMania when you're going to wrestle in a competitive match, supposedly. So just, it's obviously, you know, as we're talking about this later on, which I'm sure this will be a topic because I can't be the only one who felt this way. Just be careful with our word choice. Make sure we know we're not trying to diminish women or tell them what they can and can't wear and whatever else, right? It's not about that. It's about where it's appropriate and where it's not. And I'm going to say it one last time, guys. I saw more ass than talent. And I hate that because that just sends me back to the early 2000s when I was like a young 10-year-old girl thinking, oh, why does she look like that? When WWE was okay with all that stuff. And I actually think we might talk something similar about this a little bit later on because I have one email I want to get into. But before we get there, guys, let's talk about the high for the week and talk about some good stuff because this show had a lot of good stuff. And this week, not really, but this show had a lot of good stuff. NXT TakeOver had a lot of good stuff. I thought that I'm that main event, the unsanctioned match. I'm sorry, guys. I did not like that. I appreciated it, and I'm going to make a comparison. If you guys have ever seen Citizen Kane, it's a movie. It's not a good movie. It's awfully boring, really boring, but it has awesome technique, symbolism, all this stuff as a film analysis student, whatever. It was a good thing to watch. Because you learn a lot, and there's a lot to appreciate in it. So Citizen Kane is a movie I very much appreciate, don't like it. Every Wes Anderson movie, essentially, besides Fantastic Mr. Fox and The Royal Tenenbaums, don't like them. But I appreciate them because I think Wes Anderson is a really talented director. I'm trying to use another analogy besides movies, but it's the only thing I can think of. Maybe art, but that's more subjective. These things that I can appreciate, but I don't like them, and I won't want to watch them, and if you catch me ever watching Citizen Kane in my life again, kill me then, because I don't, no, that's not for me. This match between Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole, I can appreciate. I get it. I don't get why it had to be 45 minutes, or whatever length it was, but I get it. I can appreciate it. Will I ever go back and watch that match? No. Never. I was literally sitting there like, when is this going to end? Because I have to watch AEW to record my podcast. I was exhausted. I was bored. But again, I don't skip through that stuff because one, I want to give it a chance. And two, we do this podcast and I want to make sure I have a fair, even perspective. And I've watched everything all the way through. I don't watch the Hulu versions of anything anymore, guys. Like, I want to make sure we catch every little thing so we can talk about it here. And so I'm giving a fair pick to it all, and this I will never watch that match again is the long and short of it. So we're not going to talk about that in any realm of the high of the week or in the lower of the week because I didn't like it, but I can appreciate it. So there, let me put it that way because otherwise that's going to start a whole conversation that I don't really want to get into because I also don't want to talk about this match ever again, the melodrama. But otherwise, with NXT TakeOver, there was some boring stuff like the women's championship, tag team championship match. High, though, on a good note, right? There was that awesome NXT women's title match. Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez. Congratulations, Raquel Gonzalez. The beast of a woman with a back like no other. So some good stuff overall, but guys, what do you know? The high for the week is coming to WrestleMania, and no, it is not Bad Bunny hitting a Canadian destroyer and crossbodies and an arm drags and toe holds and what the hell? This guy, I was more into this match than half the matches on the card. He really sucked me in. This was a good match. And you know, putting the believability aside, I can believe that, fine, maybe they didn't tell me the story, but I'll tell myself it because I have to do this all the time with WWE headcanon for myself so I can enjoy watching this stuff. Maybe Damian Priest and Bad Bunny were working on stuff, or maybe Bad Bunny and Booker T were working on stuff, or whatever. Cool. The point was, is this was fun to watch, and sometimes you just need a little bit of fun because to break some of this stuff up, you know, that instead of the 45-minute melodrama unsanctioned match. But yeah, so I do want to give a hats off to Bad Bunny, who hit a fucking Canadian destroyer. That was awesome. And again, before I forget too, props to The Miz and John Morrison, because if you look closely, and again, if you've been watching wrestling for a while, you can pick up on these things. Bad Bunny's not able to do that stuff on his own. A lot of that stuff comes from the strength and the experience and the talent of both The Miz and John Morrison. And Miz, who took some jabs, some right hooks tonight. You know, they sold for Bad Bunny and made him look good. And Damian Priest as well, obviously. So I thought this match way exceeded his expectations. It's still below the Shaq match for me, guys, in AEW. Just because of the feud for Red Velvet and Jade Cargill that came out of that. So there was something that was actually worth for that, not just a WrestleMania moment. But it was cool to watch Bad Bunny get his moment and be a fan in the ring getting to wrestle. Guys, imagine, you know, I'm sure you guys are huge wrestling fans and have probably been for a long time because you're listening to a wrestling podcast. So we're kind of one of a kind. If I had the ability to train like that and be able to perform at WrestleMania, of course I would. So this guy got to live out his dream. Props to him. He killed it. You know, I have a feeling maybe we see Bad Bunny once or twice more, but honestly, I feel like he should probably go challenge Santos Escobar for the Cruiserweight title because, yeah. Oh, that match too, guys. Poor Jordan Devlin. Not poor Jordan Devlin, but ouch, if you guys watch that match. Ouch. Just senseless violence for senseless violence's sake. It's not even worth analysis. Thank God for Zach Smith, guys, who does our NXT review shows, because I don't think I could ever handle trying to analyze a lot of that product. All right, high for the week, official high for the week, guys. No more, you know, jumping around the topic. Let's talk about it. I think you guys could probably guess what I was going to pick, and it is no other than...
Neutralizer to Rollins! Here is your winner, Cesaro!
I mean, guys, I think we all expected this one to be a banger. I think... sad that they didn't get more time. I don't think they needed a lot more time, and it might not even seem like that, but you could tell they knew they didn't have a lot of time, and they kind of rushed into the beginning a little bit, like there wasn't a lot of build in the match. But you can't blame them for that. You got to blame the time constraints on that. And guys, I mean, I want to see these guys in an Iron Man match. Like, I'm throwing it back to Dolph Ziggler. And Seth Rollins' Intercontinental title feud stuff. Like, I want to see that. Because this was awesome. Hopefully they don't just play it back on SmackDown for no good reason. But, I mean, we talk about, like, the counters. Seth Rollins, I want to say, did not lose this match. He lost the match. He took the pinfall. But I don't think this took anything away from Seth Rollins. I think this was an unbelievable match. I think it was just above the Walter and Ciampa match for the high of the week, solely because of probably a subjective opinion and the fact that a warm-hearted victory for Cesaro, who I called this and who I think deserved it and earned it, and I think most of us saw it coming. I was actually surprised by a lot of people thinking Seth Rollins was going to win. I get it, but I mean, I don't know. I thought this one was pretty clear. The right decision and predictable is not always a bad thing. I could go and give the play-by-play to a lot of these moves, guys, but I'm not going to do it justice, and I'm sure you all probably just watched it too, so you know what I'm talking about. These two guys are just natural in the ring, unbelievably talented, and I told my fiancé too as we're watching this, I said, when Seth Rollins wrestles, you can't look away. We can give all Cesaro credit for weeks and weeks and weeks, but Seth Rollins needs to be talked about here because you can't look away, because every little thing can somehow end up being incredible. This guy, when he wrestles, it is an art form. It's not just performing or sports entertainment or whatever you want to call it, pro wrestling. It's an art. He is one of the most talented wrestlers I've ever seen in my entire life. Not for all the high-flying spots we talk with Rey Fénix, and this, that's not doing Rey Fénix nearly enough credit, but, and not the storytelling of Cody Rhodes, and not just the unshakable natural talent of Randy Orton, like these guys who you think about when you just think about really unbelievable wrestlers, right? Maybe Randy Orton might be subjective for some of you, but natural talent is natural talent. My point being is that Seth Rollins is all this stuff combined, and I don't ever think he'll get the credit for it. I really don't. He is so good in this role. The new music I thought was okay. I like it better than the old stuff. I think it's a weird mix of both. I just want to go back to the Messiah, but again, I think that's all subjective. Yeah, I mean, some of the spots, the way that these two men work together in the ring, and I think the perfect example is if you look at the way that Seth Rollins has delivered that superplex into a Falcon Arrow before, sometimes it can look a little clunky. And again, you know, it should. It's a really difficult maneuver, I'm sure. But the way Seth Rollins and Cesaro worked together, it looked flawless. Flawless. Perfect. And again, no match is without its flaw here and there, but I think these guys did an unbelievable job. Totally lived up to what I thought was going to be an amazing match. I love this. I think it was fun to watch. Probably the most fun match of the night. If I guess Bad Bunny is in its different own category. But yeah, this was my favorite thing to watch of the night, really. Including the emotional celebration by Bianca Belair. I had a good time watching this. I remembered why I enjoy wrestling, specifically WWE too. And again, story going into this kind of stunk. It was entertaining, but no real grounds for it. But whatever, we got to this point and it was awesome to watch. And it is super late, guys, super past my bedtime. My jaw is hurting from ranting so much about this previous match. But a lot of awesome stuff went on WrestleMania Night 1. I think overall a success, very performy. This isn't real. We're putting on a show for you, wrestling for moments, not for actual storytelling. But what can you do? It's WWE. There's a WWE curve, and I'm analyzing on that, I guess. And I enjoyed most of WrestleMania. So I'm not even... guys, before I forget, you know, this can't go high. This is no high or low. This is just if you've been listening to the show and you have heard me talk about Braun Strowman and that stupid olive green muscle shirt and his man nipples poking through it and the spit and everything wrong with Braun Strowman. This man looked like a beast when he came out. Why he's been wearing this stupid muscle shirt for so long? Maybe it was so he would wait and be able to do the big body reveal at WrestleMania. Not worth it. Not worth it at all. Sorry. Not worth the weeks and weeks of olive green muscle shirts. Not worth it. I'm calling it now. But Braun Strowman looked unbelievable. I'm not getting into the match here, guys, because we're going to go for it, I guess. But we're going to be here for another hour, and I'm tired. But yeah, unbelievable looking dude that night, guys. Really, I hope he never puts that stupid olive green shirt on ever again. So that's it for me, guys, this week. I said it was going to be a shorter show than usual, possibly, and here we are, like 40 minutes in or something. So before I forget, though, of course, as always, I do want to read. We got one email from Aiden. I know you said, Aiden, it was way earlier in the week, so we're going to have to take this with a grain of salt. But you said, "Hey, Mimi, I hope you're well. I couldn't believe I said you thrashed product. Wrong words. Super sorry. You're so fine." I do. I just did for most of the show, by the way. And guess what, guys? I don't do it unwarranted. I don't come on here on purpose to talk crap about anything. I would love to just rant and rave about wrestling with you guys for hours. That would be great. Just share in the love of wrestling. But WWE sucks 90% of the time, so I'm not going to be able to do that if we're covering that. So you have a little rant, like you're a bit ranty, but that's a great thing, like with Braun, etc. I'm ranty as all hell, and I own it. I'm the ranter for sure, especially... I stopped myself, though, guys, tonight. I didn't go down the road. I didn't go down the Braun Strowman rabbit hole. Once again, rabbit hole, bunny hole, no pun intended. Wink, wink. All right. You said, love the bad language bombs last week. Well, good, you're going to love this show, then. Makes it very real. Again, I censor myself a little bit, but I try to keep it PG, but Michael Cole, you asshat. Okay, let me continue. You said, one quick question this week. I assume you're with Peacock as you're in America. How do you find it? I will continue on with what you said before, but let me say, you said, I'm really confused why they didn't work through the 7,000 hours pre-transition. You know, couldn't agree more with you, Aiden, but I'm actually not surprised because WWE never does anything in advance or plans for anything or tells a story, so I couldn't imagine Peacock doing it either. Overall, guys, the Peacock thing, it's all right. It's all right. It has given me less problems than the network, and this might just be my internet, but the network, when I'm trying to, like, watch a show, I feel like the network buffers a lot because a lot of other people are also trying to watch it. I hate that I can't rewind live. Like, I hate that I can't go back a little bit. Like, I have to watch everything live. I don't love that, but maybe that's, you know, by design for some reason. I'm iffy about the fact that there's no chapter select when you go back and watch old pay-per-views and stuff, because I actually don't, I don't mind that in a sense, because sometimes it spoils a match for me, because again, my memory is so bad, you guys. Like, I'll go back and watch like a 2007 pay-per-view per se, you guys know that, because I give you a random match recommendation every week, and this one's gonna be a really weird one too. So, I don't mind it because sometimes I spoil it for myself, even though I already know what's going to happen. And I probably remember it about 3/4 of the way through the match, but I'd like to watch the match and not remember, like even Royal Rumbles and stuff like that. And it'll say like, oh, so-and-so, you know, comes and saves the day or whatever in the chapter select. And I never really love that. But I also understand the easiness of chapter select and yeah. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm not a huge downer on it. I'm just kind of trying to go with the flow. You know, this is kind of the future, guys. I guarantee AEW will eventually get on our streaming service as well, and probably something with YouTube, honestly, because I feel like half their stuff is on YouTube, if not more. But yeah, it could be worse. It could be a lot better. I'm just rolling with the punches. I have enough to rant and complain about on this show. I don't need to add Peacock to it. All right, here's my point, you said. Here's my point. The removing of racist and insensitive material matters, as it can remove crucial historical context for today, Mimi. The removing of racist and sexual material matters, as it removes... Oh, did I just... No, okay, you should... Okay, the removing of racist and sexual material matters, as it removes crucial history and context for today's content. Like, WWE erased the physical evidence of their racist segments. Future fans, Mimi, will lose the continuity between past errors and shortcomings of their present. Kamala was shockingly racist stereotype in my eyes, but Kofi Kingston was on top in 2019. WWE came a long way. No shit, Aiden. I mean, Bianca Belair tonight. So, women were demanded to... underwear matches, or demeaned to underwear matches, mud pits, etc. Don't forget about Santina Marella, Miss WrestleMania, and that mud pit match with Vicky Guerrero. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Maybe something else for you guys comes to mind, but for some reason that comes to mind for me. All right, which were awful. Now Saturday, Bianca and Sasha could main event WrestleMania Night 1. Am I talking shit, Mimi? Maybe just a disclaimer, LOL. Have a great week, and sorry for being a jerk. Slan, right? I got that right. Slan Aiden. Thank you, Aiden. You're not a jerk. Honestly, guys, you could probably come into my emails and say, Mimi, your show absolutely sucks. This is what's wrong with it. And I'd be like, oh, thank you. for your constructive criticism, and I'll probably take a look at it and change it if it's something I didn't realize or I could see would be annoying or wrong. I'm all for it, guys. If I'm too ranty, tell me. I'm not going to change, probably, because that's just, I'm not being ranty to be ranty ever. I'm just giving you guys my honest opinion. Why would I do anything else? What a waste of time. I spend a couple hours, you know, a lot more than that, I guess, all in all with audio editing and all this stuff. And I'm probably going to be here for a long time after recording this, editing all the bleeps in because I can't control myself. Why would I spend all this time just to be artificial, you know? But I am all for any constructive criticism because guess what, guys? I've never done a podcast before. Surprise, surprise. I'm new to this. I talk really fast sometimes, a whole bunch of stuff that I would love to get better at. And so I'm always here for constructive criticism. And if you want to tell me that I trash the product, Aiden, you're not wrong. I do, because it deserves to be trashed or thrashed. Or I guess maybe, is that an Irish thing? Or do people in America say that too, thrashing something? I just assume it means the same thing as trashing something. So in regards to what you said, Aiden, about Peacock and cutting out a lot of the crucial historical context and content, I think I emailed you back and I said, you know, I really like this perspective because I haven't heard it before, and I listen to a lot of content for wrestling and stuff along those lines too. I like to hear other minds, especially educated minds, like a Bully Ray or a Mark Henry or stuff like that. Like, I love to hear their thoughts on stuff. Not to change my opinion or anything, but I love listening to other wrestlers, particularly analyze the current wrestling product. It's super interesting to me. I'm just a nerd. But, I have not heard this perspective yet, though. And I think it's a valid one. I do. I think there are valid points to this. Again, this is another thing. I'm really, you know, on a night that I can't control my cursing, I'm gonna need to do a lot of slowly talking, because clearly I'm not doing more than one take on all this stuff. If you guys can't tell, I just said slowing. So Peacock, cutting out the content. I understand where you're coming from and I get it. I think there's two sides to this, and I'm gonna probably cop out, but I think that leaving a lot of this stuff in is, yes, important, because we want to see how far we've come, right? You can't see how far we've come if we don't look back. I want to say I don't remember any Women's Evolution promos, though, them having any comparison to any of the Divas or anything before that. I think women like Trish Stratus and Lita, believe it or not, with all the stuff Lita was involved with that we can't talk about on the show because it's not PG, I think that cutting out a lot of this content actually isn't fair to them, because I think, again, I'm just using two examples, but I think, you know, I could throw Jackie in there, a bunch of other names, but Mickey James. I think taking out all this other content is actually not fair to them, because it doesn't showcase, and I don't know what their plan is at all, by the way. I'm just saying, if this is what they were going to do, it's not fair to them because it doesn't showcase the struggle that these women went through to Lita wore a thong up to her, you know, chin, and Trish Stratus had plenty of storylines that were sexual and whatever. They all, right, there was like a live sex tape between Edge and Lita, right? There was some rated R, no pun intended, stuff on this television show. But these two women could go. I don't want to say necessarily by today's standards, though. If you watch the Evolution pay-per-view, the women's pay-per-view with Charlotte Flair and Trish Stratus could still go. So just these two women could go, and in comparison to who the other women in the division with them at the time, and again, this is no fault on any of the women or anything that they did or any, like, again, no judgment ever, really, honest to God. I don't have the time to even care enough about to do that. But again, no judgment ever. But I know that John Laurinaitis is literally quoted, hiring tens with potential, or tens with some, I forget what it is, with athleticism. I don't know, whatever. It's degrading to women and it's awful, and John Laurinaitis is the worst. I stopped myself there. So these women are never have never been at fault. And if you watch that movie, I'm going way off the rails, guys. If you watch that movie with Paige's movie, Fighting With My Family, really good representation of all this stuff. Really like that movie and the dynamic and the way they did that whole thing with the... Again, watch the movie if you haven't seen it. And if you have seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It was really well done, in my opinion. But yeah, to women like AJ Lee included, it doesn't give them enough credit because they were fighting a worse uphill battle than the women are today. I think, you know, your future of the women's division, your Bianca Belairs, your... Oh, God. Your Rhea Ripley's, you get the point. Rhea Ripley's only 24, by the way. That makes me feel like a real failure in life because I'm 22 and she's got her whole life figured out, seemingly. Anyways, again, it's late, guys. I'm sorry. These women definitely, again, still have an uphill battle. I hate to be that person, but guys, if you're a woman in any work, if you're a woman in any workplace, you probably have an uphill battle. And it's not fair. It's not right, but it's just the way the world is. I feel as though I can give you that, take because guess what? I've dealt with it. You know what I mean? And again, only 22 and I've already dealt with that. So in any workplace, you're already fighting an uphill battle. If you don't believe that, you're stupid and I don't care. Yes, it's already difficult, especially for these women, but I think it's a lot easier or at least a little bit easier than if you were a Trish or Alita back in the day who had really... who had a lot of talent in the ring and barely got to showcase that. And so to me, I agree. If they cut out all this other crap, I think it's not fair to those women. I guess that's the take I'm going to take on that. In regards to the race stuff, I want to say that I am a white privileged woman from a wealthy, affluent community who probably should never really have a lot of opinions on anything race-wise besides the fact that being racist is wrong. Let me throw it like and bad, and it exists, and it's bad and stupid, and people shouldn't do it, and continue to fight for those who are not, don't have the privilege that I do. I'm going to keep it, that's as political as I'm going to get, guys, I promise. The only thing that I will say on the matter, because again, I really don't think it's my place to say anything, Aiden, I love the email and I really appreciate the suggestion, but I just want to tread carefully because again, I think we just have to be careful in these situations because again, like what ground do I have to stand on? This, I think you'd actually have to ask someone who this would be more involving of or akin to or offensive towards. Again, it's offensive towards me, but offensive in the way of personally offensive, I guess is the way I'm trying to get across. All right. Things like Vince McMahon dropping the N-word to John Cena and Booker T standing there like, you did not just say that, randomly in like a weird backstage promo. And things like the Booker T promo, I guess that maybe they're two different things. Let me say that. Gotta go. Sorry. We can all know that Vince McMahon is not the greatest guy of all the time and should never have done that. And I think probably, you know, Vince McMahon is a little bit above your YouTube's, you know, social media influencer apology video. So I don't think we're ever going to get that. Sorry, guys. But like things like that, gotta go. I agree with that. If I was Peacock, I wouldn't put that on my show or my programming either. Things like the Triple H Booker T segment from way back in the day. And if you guys are, I almost feel like I was single digits for sure. I was probably a baby at the time, but I have seen this obviously as it's probably one of the biggest mistakes in WrestleMania booking history. And that's saying something. The promo that Triple H cuts clearly implying to race. And then the Triple H cuts on Booker T, clearly applying to race. And then Booker T loses at WrestleMania nonetheless. Again, the whole thing is wrong, but that makes it even worse. That stuff, I don't know if they're going to, but I don't know if you cut that out. And I think that being is that, like, we can't pretend that things didn't happen. They happened. We don't have to be okay with the fact that they happened, but they happened. Senseless nonsense like Vince McMahon dropping the N-word, I don't need to remember that happened. Again, I might be being a little what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say, maybe it's hypocritical, but contradicting myself. I just think that the overall dynamic of that whole feud and that rivalry and the fact that they were allowed to do that and then have the end result they did is the bigger issue here than ignorant old Vince McMahon being Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon's never going to change, guys. I think we can see that from our week-to-week show. But, yeah, things like that, I don't know. This is, a really good topic, Aiden, and I feel like I've been talking about it longer than I've been talking about the show at this point. So I will cut it off with that. But I just want to say, like, things like that, I think are important to keep because I think it shows, like you said, one, how far we've come from that. We're not that far off of that, guys. It might be not as obvious, but there's still plenty of racism in WWE, in pro wrestling, in the world, clearly, but and sexism and whatever. We could go, there are issues, tons of problems, unfairness, all this crap for no reason in pro wrestling and obviously in the world as well. So I don't think that things like that need to be cut out, but I think the obvious, well, not obvious, I think the, that's not the right word I'm looking for, I think the clear things like dropping the N-word, yeah, cut that out, but things like that, and any other kind of weird, even the women's matches, the bra and panties matches, guys, like, I don't think that's wrong to keep on. I think it shows, again, like you said, Aiden, how far we've come, and we can't pretend that didn't happen. It happened. It was a thing, and you can say times were different or whatever else. I don't care if times were different. Doesn't, just because it's 2010 or 2005 versus 2021, doesn't make it different or better or worse or whatever. It's just that is the way it was, and not okay then, not okay now. But thank God finally someone woke up and realized that. So yeah, I don't know if any of that made any sense, guys. It's late. We're getting past 1 a.m. here, up here on the East Coast. So with all that being said, guys, I'm going to give you, speaking of awesome women, by the way, I'm going to give you guys your random match recommendation of the week, which I want to give to that Raw match of Lita and Trish, but I already had something planned. So watch that match too. There's your other one, your bonus random match recommendation. I don't know what Raw it is because I didn't do the research, but, yeah. All right. Your random match recommendation this week, guys, is none other than the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view in 2017, July 9th, 2017. Was headlined by Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe. But that is not your random match recommendation, guys. Your random match this week is Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship. If you know, you know, with the weird arm thing. Awesome, incredible match. Alexa Bliss does like the sunset flip thing that comes out of nowhere. This match is just beautiful from psychology purposes. All this stuff. Finish is something else, but whatever. The actual, let's just talk about the context of the interior of the match. Let's go with that. So yeah. I recommend you guys go check this one out. A little more appreciation for our friend Sasha Banks here, who, again, I know I'm harsh on, especially on this show. Let me speak for myself. But like I said, guys, tonight she did an amazing job playing exactly the role she needed to. And this was actually a face Sasha Banks in this match, but I don't know, anybody against that version of Alexa Bliss, it was hard to cheer for anybody else but Alexa Bliss at that time. So that's it, guys. That's all from me. I hope you guys enjoyed WrestleMania last night. I hope you enjoy it this night, too. Sunday night, too. I hope you enjoy night two of WrestleMania as well. Hope you guys all have a wonderful week as well. If you watch AEW and you tune in for the review show, I will talk to you then, obviously. Don't forget to tune in for Matt and the Botch Guy both tonight as I'm speaking. So that would make no sense for me to promote that. But night two as well. They're live streaming it, and they will probably post it as well, I assume. So good stuff, review show for WrestleMania, and then a whole bunch of post-WrestleMania content per usual. Otherwise, guys, thank you again. Always really appreciate it. Thanks for bearing with me once again on a late-night show. I'm better closer to the evening, but I will talk to you guys next time.